The Meg Thatcher Chronicles, Chapter 47. The Sultry Super Spy of Canada Meets Bond, James Bond. Written by Ms. Faze, read by Luzula. This story was written for the Badfic Challenge at Due South Flash Fiction. Author's Notes. Okay, guys, this is it. What I've been working up to all this time. I know you've all been really, really wondering who Meg would meet and all that, so here it is. This is the canon of my heart, and I was kind of worried about posting, but I know you guys have been so great so far, so here it is. Oh, and Pierce Brosnan is now and forever my OTB, one true Bond. So if you don't like him as Bond, I don't want to hear it. Meg Thatcher, Canadian super spy, was in her secret identity as Meg Thatcher, humble servant of the RCMP, when her phone rang. The Xena Warrior Princess ringtone alerted her that this was no ordinary call. It was a mission. She glared at her assistant in a way that made him want to go home to mommy, and once he was gone, she answered. What's the mission? She nodded, all businesslike, while taking notes in her super secret shorthand code. Uh-huh. Okay, got it. Who am I rescuing? She would have dropped her pen if she wasn't so good at her job and in control. Who? Meg grabbed her spy gear-filled purse, checked her hair and makeup in the mirror by the door, and made a dignified run for her car. Benton Fraser, she growled, and she ran, glad that all her super spy training kept her in shape, so she didn't huff and puff unattractively while she ran. Of course, he's in trouble. Meg Thatcher made a quick trip to her luxury apartment to get her things for the trip. It was a good thing she was such a great super spy, because otherwise the packing would have taken a lot longer. But since she was such a great spy, she had lots of pre-packed bags for nearly every kind of trip there was she might have to take. Soon, she was on a plane and wondering who she would be meeting this time. She got to meet lots of other spies when she worked missions, and usually they fell all over her and wanted to be her. Or they wanted her to love them. But Meg Thatcher was too smart for that. She was a spy, and spies don't fall in love. That was rule number one, and if she embroidered, it would be on a pillow on her bed. But she didn't, so she just pretended it was written on her heart instead. She'd almost had the stitching of her heart ripped out by the very man she was having to go to save, Benton Fraser. He was stupidly honest, stupidly loyal, and really, really stupidly hot. She'd nearly blown her cover for him, and had to work hard to make it look like he was saving her that time with a train full of Mounties. Luckily, her female charms and kissing skills had been too much for him, just like they always were. And when he'd found that nuclear submarine, she knew it was time to go. It was too close to her kind of mission, and it made her think about all the things she really should be doing to save the world. Only now she had to go and save him. Again. This was not going to be easy. Because she'd closed that door in her life and pretty much slammed his foot in it on the way. Ah well, that was how spies lived. When she got off the plane, a driver was waiting, only there wasn't supposed to be, so she was real suspicious. And so, when the driver tried to come up behind her and grab her, she was ready, using her martial arts skills to stop him. But he ate poison before she could find out who he worked for, and so she had to get a taxi and go to the building where she was to meet her real spy contact. Then, on the way there, she decided to stop by her hotel first to change and look really good for the new spy she was meeting. So she had the driver take her there, and she got ready, looking hot and dangerous, and also approachable and a team player all at the same time. It was her best look, and no one could do it like she could. After one last check to make sure she was ready, Meg went back to the taxi and went to the spy headquarters, which was cleverly disguised as a normal office building, only she knew better because she was the best. And also they gave her directions and code words for when she got there. Up she went in the really nice elevator, listening to the muzak and wondering who her partner for this mission would be. And why this headquarters was so much nicer than hers. Why was Canada so stingy? The doors opened and she walked out and went to the desk and told the woman there she was there. And the elevator left and came back, and when it did, Meg's eyes nearly popped out of her head. The guy getting off was so gorgeous. He was all tall and had very dark hair and pale, beautiful skin, all creamy and touchable looking. And his eyes danced with humor and intelligence and were bluer than the Alberta skies, which was pretty darn blue. She looked him all over, in partly a spy and partly a womanly way, and was glad to see him looking back at her the same, except all manly. She almost forgot where she was, but then she remembered and went to shake his hand in a businesslike way. Meg Thatcher. And then he took her hand, and it was like she'd been hit by lightning. He smiled and didn't shake her hand. He kissed it in a real seductive way and smiled when he saw her get all lustful in her eyes. Bond, he said. James Bond. And his voice washed over her like a wave of really good chocolate, all smooth and creamy, and she wanted to hear more because on top of that it was an English accent, which was just the best. But then she thought about his name and knew he was a really good spy, maybe the best male spy ever, and knew that he would be a good match for her, but that she really needed to watch herself and remember rule number one. "I've heard of you, Mr. Bond," she said, using his last name, so he'd know she meant business. "I've heard of you, too. This must be an important mission." "It is. We have to rescue a Canadian hero who has been kidnapped for some reason and taken. Your office and mine are to work together to rescue him, because he's Canadian like me, so I need to be here, because I know how he thinks. And he was taken here, so that's why we need to work together, since this is your home area." James saw the wisdom of this, and was even more glad he came back from his last mission unharmed, so he could finally work with the famous, in the spy community, not the regular world, of course, Meg Thatcher. She was even more beautiful than he'd heard, with her just right dark hair and pretty eyes, and really nice figure. She looked dangerous and approachable, which was his favorite kind of look, and she did it great. And so he agreed, even though he knew it was risky to work closely with her, since she was just his type, being a woman and all, and he knew that rule number one was that spies don't fall in love. But they had a mission, and he would do his job, even if it was going to be really hard. James and Meg went to dinner, because the plain food was really bad, so Meg didn't eat it. And they talked about the mission, only in code, so no one would know. Meg had on a glamorous gown, that brought out her eyes. And James had on a tux, and dinner was wonderful, and they had a really good time, talking about the mission and being spies and other stuff, as long as it wasn't classified, of course. They were done when James asked Meg how she knew Benton Fraser. "What do you mean?" she asked, all coy and innocent. He shook his head and smiled in a way that made her all melty inside, like she was ice cream and he was the sun on a hot summer day. "You're good, but so am I, Meg. How do you know him?" She sighed. Of course, he would figure it out. "He used to work for me, but he didn't know I was a spy." James gave her an understanding look. "Did you have to break his heart? I hate when we have to do that." She nodded and smiled. He did understand her. "Yes, and now we have to rescue him and his boyfriend, because I hurt him so bad that he could no longer love women." She sighed, all sad. "It's my curse." James took her hand and patted it. "I've left a fair trail of lesbians in my wake, so I know what you mean. Being a spy is hard work." Meg felt tears spring to her eyes, because she'd never had someone who understood her so well. Then she steeled herself, because she had to be strong and not fall in love. Sometimes she hated her job, but mostly she loved it. "Okay, so I wrote a long part here about their mission, but then the post wouldn't fit. Like always, and when is LJ going to fix that post size limit? I've only asked like 100 times. And I wanted this to be one chapter, so I'm skipping to the good part. You guys know the drill. Email me off list and I will send you the rest, which is full of technology and gizmos and karate fights. But we all know, you're only here for the good part." "Ray, we've been saved," Benton Fraser said to his partner in all ways that there are, Stanley Raymond Kowalski. Ray turned to look, but it was hard since they were tied to a huge drill. "Who's here, sweetheart?" "I don't know for absolute sure. Deef is trying to tell me, but he's going too fast in his excitement about our rescue. Only, with my mounty hearing, I can hear a car now, so it must be our rescuers." And it was. James parked the Aston Martin near the big drill, and he and Meg jumped out of the car and untied the red-uniformed Mountie and spiky blonde-haired man with him. Both men were very surprised to see who saved them. Fraser couldn't speak, he was so surprised, so Ray said, "Why are you here saving us?" He tried not to be mean, but he couldn't help being jealous, because he knew Meg had broken Fraser's heart and left him to pick up all the tiny pieces, which he did. Meg smiled the smile of the smug, because they had never figured out her secret, and they thought they were great detectives. Ha! "We're here because it's our job to rescue you. You need to come with us now, before anyone comes to get to you or the drill." James was not too shot up about having Diefenbaker in his car, but Benton Fraser promised he'd be good and wouldn't shed too much. Plus, he wasn't liking Benton too much, since he could see now why Meg would like him, since he was tall and handsome and had great hair. And then Ray made a nasty comment about how Aston Martins weren't as cool as GTOs, and James had to remember his spy vows and not hurt him, since he was the rescue victim, but it was hard. Fraser gave Ray a look, and he said he was sorry for being mean, and then they all left. They all got away safely, after a shootout and a couple more good karate fights. James's shirt got all ripped up in the fight, and he threw it away. And Meg had to stop from staring at his hairy, manly chest. She wanted to run her fingers through his chest hair. It looked so silky and pelt-like, like maybe a mink. James pretended not to see her watch him, but really, he did see her. It made him happy and sad, because he was falling in love with her so hard, but they were spies and couldn't be together. After they got back to safety, Fraser thanked James and Meg kindly for saving them. "Thank you kindly for saving us," he said, and shook their hands. Ray was all quiet, and then he said, "Thank you, too." Then he looked at Fraser, dark-haired and tall and smart and built and perfect, next to Meg, who was also pretty hot for an ice queen. And Ray was going to be quiet, but he couldn't help himself. "So, are you going away with her now?" he had to ask, with so much worry and insecurity in his voice. "I know, she was your first choice." And he turned away and looked for a wall to punch. But there wasn't one close, and he wouldn't punch the car, even if Aston Martins were really no match in coolness to his goat. "Ray, I don't understand how you could think that," Fraser said, very surprised. "I don't want to lose you. My life is with you now. You are my ray of sunshine, and the deep love I have for you is very different from how I felt for Inspector Thatcher." He grabbed Ray by the arms and gently held him. "You are light to her dark, warmth to her coldness, hard to her soft." This made Ray smile, because Fraser's hands on him were making him hard, along with the adrenaline from being saved after almost dying. "You like hard?" he said, and moved himself against Fraser so he could feel his hardness. Fraser smiled to see that Ray understood. "You are all I will ever, ever, ever need, Ray. I love you very, very much." And then he kissed Ray, and Ray kissed him, and pretty soon they were making out hot and heavy, with open mouths and groping. "I love you too, Ben," Ray said, when they stopped kissing to breathe. "And I'm real glad we didn't get killed, but at least if we did, we would have died together." "Do you mean that, Ray?" And when Ray nodded, Fraser dropped to one knee and took one of Ray's beautifully knobby hands in his. "Then, will you do me the honor of marrying me and spending all of your days and nights together with me until we die old and wrinkly and happy, Stanley Raymond Kowalski? It's legal in Canada now." Ray felt his heart swell up in his lithe but strong chest, and he tried not to cry. "I will marry you, Benton Fraser." Meg watched them and then looked at James, wishing that he would ask her to marry him. She had only known him a few short hours, but seeing him next to Fraser had shown her that she had never really and truly loved him in a forever way. But she knew that she felt that way about James. He was the one, the only one for her. The thread of her heart's embroidery was all unraveled, and James was holding all the red, squishy strings. Only she also knew that spies could never marry and work together, and he was the best partner she could ever have. So she was torn. James watched Ray and Benton all happy together and wished he could ask Meg to marry him. He was tired of making lesbians. He wanted someone to be his snuggle bunny forever. And Meg was perfect for him in every way. Plus, they would make beautiful half-British, half-Canadian babies. But he knew she loved her job and would maybe never say yes. He watched her some more and then thought that maybe he should try and ask anyway, because he was the number one male spy ever. So even if he was afraid, he needed to face his fear. Besides, His reward could be having her as his wife forever. And how could he not try for that great of a thing? And the worst she could say was no, which would break his heart, but not in a game-making kind of way. To be continued. Okay, so now what happens is up to you, the reader. Will James propose? Will Meg say yes and stop being a spy? Or maybe they can have a secret marriage? Or maybe a big double wedding in Canada? So if you leave me great feedback, then you can be part of this epic story of love and intrigue and adventure. Only, I know what happens, but you don't. And I need your reviews so I can tell you in the next part. I want all of your comments on this, but since I know what happens really, you're only guessing, not making big suggestions, because this is my story after all. But you're still part of it, okay? This has been a reading of The Meg Thatcher Chronicles, Chapter 47. The Sultry Super Spy of Canada Meets Bond, James Bond. You can find the rest of the other stories at msface.livejournal.com.